This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey you, yeah you, on the job site. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine from here at the Victorian Pride Centre. We are, of course, the official, one of the official vaccination ambassadors.
We are.
There you go, Macca. Introduce our next guest, please.
Our next guest is Peter Clill, the Federal Labor member for the seat of Wills. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Your Excellencies. That's the diplomatic term for ambassadors.
We're going to go to Taiwan and throw a grenade into the shitstorm.
Well, that's the second title we've had this morning. The first title was fanboys, and now we're Your Excellencies. Well, I think I quite like Your Excellency.
Actually, I like Your Excellency because then I could park places and get tickets and not worry about them.
That appeals. Diplomatic immunity, Macca.
Appeals to me. So how's your week been, Peter?
Pretty good. Working... helping constituents as a local MP should be doing. But I tell you what, I think we're all really looking forward to the date of opening up and easing those restrictions in a couple of weeks. I think everyone's ready.
Bill, get ready for a bit of pain between now and then, though.
Yeah, I think my wish is people, enjoy that we're going to have some more opportunities. Just be careful. That's all people need to remember. Just be careful.
Now, Peter, I've got a question for you. Are you feeling positive on the back of the most recent Resolve opinion poll that shows that Labor perhaps might be leading at the coming election?
Well, you'd be happier than if they were losing.
I know it's a cliche that politicians always say, the poll that matters is the one on election day.
Yeah, but they follow them all very closely.
We were ahead in the polls back in 2019, and we still lost. So, look, it's better than not being having good news. But I think there's a lot of scepticism about polls and the science or art around polling since those results last election. So I'll take it with a grain of salt. It's pretty clear, though, that support for Scott Morrison has dipped significantly in Victoria and New South Wales, according to that poll. And a lot of people, and a little bit off the Labor Party, so both major parties, but quite a lot of people are parking their vote with independents or minor parties. So that's quite obvious. And there's the highest vote for independents and minor parties since back in 2019.
My reading of that poll was that the dip was really 2%. So is that enough to translate into an electoral outcome?
As far as Labor winning the next election, the federal election? I think the answer to that, Tass, honestly, is our system, as you don't really look at the national polls because they're an average.
No.
What you really need to look at is seat by seat, and some of those seats that are winnable, some of the seats that we need to defend from the government, that's where the elections are won and lost.
And what do you know about the Resolve poll? Is that a good quality poll? I don't know much about its history or background. Do you know anything about it?
With all of these polls, whether it's Resolve, which is now the Channel 9 newspaper, Sydney Morning Herald, Age, or the News poll in the News Corp ones, there's been a lot of criticism of polling and the way that you do polling because, as I said, you're doing, you might be interviewing 2,000-3,000 people, but it's spread across so many different seats, and there's a lot of pseudoscience around weighting the numbers based on which seat they're coming from and so on. So look, as I said, I take it with a grain of salt. It gives you a snapshot of what people are thinking at the time. And this Resolve poll is different because it doesn't allow you to say I'm undecided. It forces you to pick somewhere. So that's probably why people are going to independence. I will say this to the listeners out there. like every federal election, it's a fork in the road. It's a choice about which direction the nation takes, like every federal election. And in this one, you know, people are going to have a real choice again about where Australia is going to head into the future and how we are going to manage this pandemic and the economic and social recovery. So they've got to ask themselves. They might be thinking about they're angry or they're frustrated and might park their vote with an independent or a minor party. But the real point I make, obviously, as a Labor opposition member, is that we can form government, and the real issue here is, do you trust the Labor Party to actually be better in the pandemic management and the economic and health recovery phase? And that's really what I think people are going to be looking at.
That sounds like an election pitch to me, Peter. I let's go back to some policy issues, if that's okay.
Sure.
AUKUS. What are your reflections
no
on AUKUS?
When you discuss, I was going to say, Tess, I'm not allowed to talk about politics with ambassadors. It's all diplomatic policy. I'm ready.
Of course. Talk to us about AUKUS. What are your reflections on the way this is panning out and where we're at with it?
Oh well, speaking of ambassadors, it's a theme this morning. The French ambassador, on his return to Australia, said that the federal government was childish in their dealings with France with respect to the... Now, I said this in the media a couple of weeks ago. I said, look, there was really no reason why the Morrison government shouldn't have talked to and prepared its partner in France for the decision that they were about to make. The excuse that they gave was that, oh, there would have been a security breach or something. You didn't have to give them details about the other deal that you were doing, but you should have, in the right diplomatic way, prepared them for the decision. And I said as well, I don't think, you know, if President Macron was so upset, what was he going to do? He was going to call up President Biden and complain about it and say, Monsieur President, I'm really upset, change your mind. It was never going to happen. So I think there's a big fail on the Morrison government in the way they have mismanaged the relationship with France on this, because France is actually a major player in the Indo-Pacific and a partner of ours in so many ways, and they've really stuffed it up. And this, to me, goes to Morrison. Sorry about the politics on this, but Morrison's kind of amateur hour on foreign policy all the way through. They're just out of their depth, and they're very one-dimensional in their approach.
He referred to it as some disappointments.
Some disappointments. In the interest of time, I'm going to move us on.
Yes.
Next big topic that I'd like your reflections on. Can we expect our PM to attend the Glasgow meeting?
I would hope so, Tass. I think it's one of the most important climate change conferences, and they're all important. But COP26 is really critical in the sense that the international community, the big emitters, getting a deal, a substantive deal, to commit to reduction in global emissions is quite critical. And, you know, Australia should be there. We should have our A-team there, frankly. You know, I know if we were in government, we'd have the A-team there. We'd have the Prime Minister, the Foreign Minister, the Climate Minister, the Resources Minister. But now Morrison is kind of, you know, he's giving signals that he might not even attend himself. And that's just not good enough. And, you know, as everyone listening would know that, you know, that side of politics says, oh, well, we don't really emit that much. It's only 1%. Of global emissions. But of course, it depends how you measure it, isn't it? If you did it on a per capita basis, we're one of the highest emitters globally, and we have a responsibility. In fact, I think we're second or third up there with Saudi Arabia and the other big oil countries. So we do have a responsibility. We need to show leadership on the international stage. We need to work with our partners to have a substantive commitment to reducing global emissions and a plan going forward. And Australia should be there.
Now, I need to ask this, Peter. Once we open up, what are the first two restaurants you're going to go to in your local area?
The honest answer, like, you know, the stomach, where my stomach would lead me, Tiba's Kebab on Brunswick Street.
Yep.
Straight away. And then, just to keep it in the Mediterranean, I'll probably go to Blue and get a souvlaki in Cascabel.
Fantastic.
What about you, Macca?
And fish it.
Yeah, I actually want to go, Tass and I and Griffith, Don't name it. Anyway, it's a steak hotel in Port Melbourne with a transporty name. We're going to go there for a steak, and And I think probably we want to do a yum cha, don't we, Tess?
I actually am missing authentic Australian Chinese cuisine.
Oh, you mean you want to go out for a sweet and sour pork?
I love us.
You've got to go out to a place where it's fun to sit and eat.
That's the filter.
Unfortunately, Peter, we're out of time, but we will. You know, we have you back on regularly. Always appreciate you speaking to us. Thank you. Have a good day, and thank you, ambassadors.
I appreciate it.
Think about you know, that kebab.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Stay well and stay safe, Peter. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.